Hey there and howdy. You are listening to the Dungeon Boys. The Dungeon Boys is a group of friends telling a story Dungeons and Dragons style. This podcast is very mature because, as you know, we say fuck a lot. Content warnings can be found in the description. The Dungeon Boys cast is myself, Arland, playing Valand, your winged tiefling Sorlock, Lindsay, the Tabaxi Rogue Six, Dylan, the Warforged Monk Temple, Ellie, the Kobold Artificer Pants, Anthony, the Ranger Warlock Grayson, Grant, the Dragonborn Barbarian Cathal Torash, and our guest star Mika, who plays Novakite, the Earth Genasi Druid, and our Dungeon Master, Justine. You can find more of our shenanigans on any of our social media platforms, plus Discord and Twitch. But without further ado, the Dungeon Boys proudly present Stardust Echoes. After their battle with the council agents, the team rushed their quote-unquote hostage Nyx Pips the ship so they can get off with Tenebris and get to Nyx's storage unit, which was actually on the Outer Rings. Pants and Six stayed behind to help Stroganoff fix their ship mine, Jigaldo, during which they learned the council will not be intending the vaults of Nautical, but in fact Commander Gallowood would be. Six then revealed to Pants that the famed and feared Leonin Commander Gallowood was actually the reason they were involved in the entire situation to begin with. And on top of that, they realized that one of the pieces of the cannon is actually a prize in the Vaults of Nautical. And well, for the rest of the harbor's Requiem, them and their new friend Novakite barely made it past security, just to find even more.
You've barely been able to pull the ship on the backside of this asteroid that floats in the rings around Tenebris. These three ships are hovering in front of that giant opening to the storage unit. Torash, you can roll stealth to see if you can hide that ship close enough to get in.
What would I use for the modifier?
It's plus 10 because you have the stealth activated. Roll stealth with advantage, and then you also add plus 10.
So with advantage, Torash rolled a 19, so plus 10. So plus 10 would be 29.
Hell yeah.
So Torash sees these, immediately pulls the stingray flaps of the ship up. So it's very neat. It's almost like he's using gravity to like make you guys stop and almost suction cup to the back of this. And the ship perfectly blends in. Like the metal hits certain angles of lighting that makes it look like it's one with the rock. And you see the entrance. Remember, it was like a giant circle in the ground, closed currently, that will lead you into the storage unit. And these three ships are kind of almost hovering, circling slowly and orbiting around.
I think they're Grayson probably finishes up patching up Temple's neck, and with a spark, his voice returns. That was a very elegant landing, Torash.
Just another day in the office, as I like to say. Years of training is certainly not going to go to waste.
All right, keep your head on straight, voice breaker.
Oh, it's as straight as it can be.
So
there's rotating sort of surveillance around this rock. There is one entrance. We're on the opposite side from that entrance.
No. You're parked like 50 feet from it.
Oh, dope. Okay, so...
But the doors are closed. And if you remember when Valen pulled his shitty stunt, there is a small... like entrance keypad type thing that will need to be activated to open it. So a very small stealthy creature might be able to do that.
Valen's like, he looks around and he's like, so Charles.
Oh, I was talking about her octopus, but that works too.
Yeah.
And he pops up and he's like, I kind of hold him up and I like explain to him the situation, and he like looks at me like, I'm like, is that okay? And can you do that? And he like just kind of like shrugs. And I was like, oh, all right. I guess that's fine. I mean, you can just hang out here, little buddy. Just go ahead and protect the ship. And he jumps off my hand, and then he kind of climbs back into that little mech suit he has.
Okay, so are we in the ship or out of the ship right now?
You're in the ship.
Okay. Is there a way that we can easily get out, or would I have to, like...
You'd have to suit up.
We have spacesuits.
Does Kite need to have, like, a suit, or can you breathe in or exist out in space?
Do we have extra suits on the ship?
You have 7.
And there's 5 of us. God.
What's up?
Would there be some sort of drone on the ship?
You'd have an emergency repair drone.
Okay. I kind of have an idea if y'all are up to it. Maybe we can distract those ships that are guarding the door, and we can fly the repair drone out there to kind of act like it's tinkering, and then they kind of call alert, and we fly it away to kind of pull the ships away so we can kind of get in there unseen.
Might give advantage to any stealth check we want to do.
Now, would you want to have the repair drone repairing us or someone else?
Do we need repairs on the drone right now? On the ship?
No.
Yeah, no, it would fly as a distraction. Like, we'd fly it in the middle and kind of act like it's tinkering, trying to get in, and then they would...
I see.
...get its attention, and then we'd fly it off in a different direction.
I see.
Off the rings, and hopefully they follow.
We may never get the drone back, but it would be a good cover for anyone trying to approach the keypad.
I can send Elusive out there to tinker around on that keypad. I think she'd have great luck.
Ah, sounds like a great idea. I mean, Sir Charles wasn't up to the task, so...
Well...
Oh, she's a girl?
Yeah. Well, Sir Charles doesn't really... I'm not sure if he's accustomed to space, is he?
No, but he does have his own little spacesuit for him as well, but...
Seems very terrestrial.
Terrestrial chinchilla.
That sounds like such an underhanded comment.
Yeah. It's almost like saying, oh, it's very pedestrian, yeah. Very terrestrial.
What a peasant.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Terrestrial chinchilla.
She's got her own 8 toolkits, if you know what I mean. So.
Yeah. Legs.
I'm just trying to picture how an octopus is going to like... on its own, get out of the ship and
just yeet it.
Like float down there? I'm sorry, I'm struggling with that.
It's an octopus. It can do it.
I asked earlier, does Kite need like a spacesuit, or can you just walk around out in the vacuum?
I mean, I'm pretty spacey. I can chill on meteors.
We'll let you not have a spacesuit.
Maybe you like hold your breath, but the vacuum doesn't like fuck you up.
Yeah, you can't. I can't speak. Because there's no air for the sound waves to travel through.
So I imagine just, like, open up the airlock and you just, like, sort of, like, let the octopus go.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Okay.
And now we return to Stroganoff's Tinkerer's Workshop as he is taking multiple cool gadgets and wrenches and trying to fix Jigalda. And Six and Pants are staring at this news broadcast about the fastly approaching Vault Subnautical. And Six has her eyes narrowed.
That's the piece of shit that sent us all to Tarrant 19 to die.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, why? What?
He kind of would love for all of us to be dead.
Oh.
So I think it's pretty great that he's not going to be there.
No, he is going to be there. The council's not going to be there.
Oh, no. Don't eat trash.
You can't tell my cats what to do, Six.
Don't eat trash. Well, since it's only him there, might be a good time to kill him.
Oh, shit.
We want to kill... That doesn't look like a person that we could kill. He's humongous.
Speak for yourself. And also, he wants us dead.
Ah.
Do you want to die or do you want him to die?
Why does he want us dead? Why do we need to die? Why?
He's Commander Galloway. He's the leader of the Council's Army Pants.
The Council's Army wants to kill us? What did we do?
Weren't you on the run? Wasn't that like the whole reason I picked you up in my ship pants?
Yeah.
But I thought we were like running away from something on Terra. I don't know. I was just along for the ride. But now this is serious.
It does not work for the two comic relief characters to have sides with each
other. It's really funny.
Okay. Well, this is good information to have. I will write that into my cards and hopefully remember that for later.
Don't worry. I didn't tell your other secrets. I won't tell these ones.
Oh, right. Fuck.
Well, let me just put it this way, Pants.
Yeah.
You do not want to use friendship cards on Commander Gallowood, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha then. All right.
Okay.
Bad guy.
Bad guy.
Even though he looks so nice.
He's very inviting, yeah. But he's a piece of shit.
He looks like a big old...
Basically, fuck that
he
guy.
He looks like a big old Santa Claus.
Like a space Santa?
Space Santa, yeah.
Space Santa.
Yes.
Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
All right. So let's try this. And then he clicks something. And Jigalda's body jumps up.
Whoa.
And then falls.
Oh.
And crumbles.
Oh.
What'd you do? What'd you do there?
I almost had it. And then he keeps working. And now back to the rest of the Harper's Requiem.
Elusive could use some coverage, even though she navigates space quite well, but might be advantageous to send out that distraction.
Toriash, I think you might be best equipped to pilot the drone. I mean, I don't really have the... I'm never really messed with these things, so...
Sure. I can give it a shot.
My rookie old ship didn't really have any kind of repair drone. I had to do all the repairs myself.
I'm sure that I could capable of doing that.
And then I think at one point Val's gonna like be like, "Hey, Jigal, oh, Jigal's not here."
Yikes,
that's sad.
And then I just try to find out where the controls are for the actual drone and where the drone is stored.
Yeah, you would know. It's pretty standard. I was going to say Starfleet issue, and this is not Starfleet. This is pretty standard ship shit. And the drone drops out, and it activates and says,
"Hello, my name is Piggle. Please identify the nature of the repairs."
Piggle.
Maybe not repairs, but is there a way I can just kind of like pilot you around?
Please see the nature of the repairs.
External.
Scanning. The ship is fully functional.
It's not our ship. It's another ship.
I am only equipped to assist this ship.
Well, we had Pants. You could probably override this.
Is there like a reset button, God?
Turn it off and turn it back on again.
Take two.
Roll investigation.
All right.
The old turn it off and turn it back on again.
It's like, we fucked up, reset it.
Oh, wow, let's do that one more time.
That's an 8.
Not that you can see.
Can I just hit it really hard with the butt of my gun?
Try.
Just bonk it.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta smack something to make it work a little bit better.
Yeah. Grayson comes up and hits it.
14 to hit.
You definitely hit it hard.
Now repairing self.
What do we want it to repair?
We don't want to repair anything. We just want it as a distraction.
Grayson, roll investigation.
Just gotta take it off this goddamn automated mode.
Goddamn. 6.
You also can't see any way to take it off of auto mode.
Temple approaches it, and he kind of like holds it and like gets face to face to talk to it.
Face.
Do you feel comfortable exploring?
My algorithms and protocol sequences will let me explore if repairs are needed.
We don't know if there are repairs needed, but we do need to see if there are any. Would you be willing to go take a look for us?
Please state the nature of the repairs.
We think there's something wrong with the door outside.
I am not compatible.
Oh, I think you are. You're a repair bot. There might be repairs.
Roll investigation, Temple.
Do any of us have high intelligence?
Doesn't seem like it.
I have a +2 to intelligence. No. Not high.
My intelligence is a 12.
Oh, that was an 18.
Oh, good.
There we go.
Oh, good. So you absolutely have the ability to take it off of auto mode and pilot it. There's like a N64 type controller in the back of its head that you can pull out and you all can pilot it.
Not Ocean Gate.
Oh, no. Wow. That Logitech controller survived, by the way. It's on the bottom of the fucking ocean.
No, it didn't.
Did it? Oh my god. Do you have a manual mode? And he kind of turns the robot and sees like, because Temple doesn't understand technology at all. He's a very humble guy. And so he's like, what is this? And he pulls at the controller.
Manual mode activated. Please tell Piggle what you would like to do.
Oh, this is nice. Okay. He's holding the controller upside down and kind of looks at it and hands it to Torash.
Thanks, Temple. Appreciate it.
Sure thing.
What would be the way to get it out of the ship? Would it just be through the airlock, or would I have, or is there like a special like opening for it that it can go out?
It probably has like a port.
Roll down the window. It's like a manual crank. Yeah.
Hey, Piggles, how do you get out? Where do you get out?
Please open the first set of airlock doors. Do not approach.
And now back to Six and Pants.
You guys are welcome to peruse my wares, by the way, if you want to pick anything up.
You mean your exclusive cat line?
Oh, I'm glad you noticed.
And you notice that every cat in this room is wearing a collar from it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
As we peruse the wares, I think Pants will want to do the right tool for the job, which takes... The creation requires 1 hour of uninterrupted work, which can coincide with short or long rest.
I think he's going to use that. He's going to look over at Fidget and... says, can you, hey Fidget, can you do that tool, the thing, you know, the one that we've been working on? Do you think you could finish it off?
Yes, Pants.
Perfect. And then now we can shop.
Yeah, Fidget just keeps doing what you were doing.
He starts humming.
Yeah. Fidget just becomes a vibrator. I'm just kidding. Sorry.
What a multifaceted tool he is.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
So we're taking a look to see if we want to purchase anything from old Strogi.
Indeed.
What? Strogi, what are crampons?
I think it's crampons.
What are crampons?
Oh, they're like little things that go on your shoes and make it so you can walk in difficult terrain better.
Oh. Mm. And then why do you have swimming gear?
People like to go swimming.
What does the swimming gear look like?
Bikinis.
I get 3 different sizes,
and you see like a halfling size, like a regular humanoid size, and then like a giant one for like a furbolg or like something huge like an orc. And it just looks like a scuba suit.
Oh, okay.
Just one sheet of parchment.
I usually do that for the tourists who are doing the planet hopping and going to Gozi IO next. Because, you know, that planet's full of water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally knew that.
You don't get out much, do you, Pence?
No, not really. I just kind of... Hey, yeah. Oh, hey, cool news. Since we're best friends, I just want to tell you everything. I saw my mom just a little bit ago. It was real exciting. Yeah, you should meet her one day. I think you guys would really get along. Yeah.
Are you trying to set me up with your mum, Pants?
No, that would be terrible.
Well, you did say she lives with a bunch of dwarves, so...
She does, yeah, she does, but that does not mean that you can, date my mom. That would be a big boundary.
Oh,
I'm thinking of that at that moment in the office when Pam's like, who, Michael? Who? And he's like... She finds out he's dating her mom. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, she just won Tinkerer of the Year, so she's too good for you.
On Sorix N56?
Yeah.
That's one of the hardest awards to get.
That's where I'm from. Yeah, that's why I'm so good at tinkering. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, suck on that, Strogi.
I agree. She's out of my league.
Yeah, she's way out of you. Anyway, what's the signal?
I'm not trying to fuck your bum, Pants.
You didn't need to say that. It's fine. I understand. Yeah. I mean, you better not be. Yeah.
You're the one who offered me to meet your mom. That's all I'm seeing.
Now I'm offended. I gotta walk it off.
What? Oh, okay. Bye.
He goes and steps outside real quick, just for a second.
Oh, no.
He's disturbed.
I didn't mean to piss him off.
He does this. Ugh. I think.
He's got a lot of passion behind those little kobold eyes, so I think sometimes he feels big emotions.
Or just not a lot of brain power.
And now back to the rest of the Harper's Requiem.
All right, everyone, let's clear area. Everyone out of the way for the airlock doors.
Hold on, I need to give Elusive a pep talk. She gets kind of nervous when I'm not with her.
Sure.
Okay. Kite cups Elusive into her hands and goes, okay, here's what we do. Are you ready? And Elusive, like, flares up its little eyeballs and it gets two of its little tentacles up. Are you ready to rumble? And Elusive gets all of its little tentacles up and is... Okay, you're gonna bust that keypad right open with all of your little intelligence and you're going to save the day. Are you ready? And it just nods, and so...
One quick question, Kite. Is she smart enough to just understand numbers?
Oh, numbers, language, feelings. She's quite the therapist.
Pips, what's your key code number to get into there?
I don't know if I'm comfortable giving you that information.
The gate number. The gate number to get inside.
He deserves it. We have put Nyx through the ringer. Should we give him a little sample of what's going on?
Well, I mean, if anything, you know, I was just feeling that if he wasn't going to give us the number, I just felt like, you know, throwing him out the airlock without a spacesuit sounds like a good idea to me.
No, we can't do that. Here, Nyx, have a seat, and Temple sits down, crisscross applesauce on the ground.
He stands.
The nature of the mission we are on is one of cosmic importance. There are potentially multiple machine parts in your possession that, when configured a certain way, could destroy the entire reality as we know it. And so what we are trying to do is procure these pieces to keep them out of the hands of people, surprisingly, more dangerous than us.
Roll persuasion.
Fuck, I have a -1.
Hell yeah.
I rolled a 5, so I got a 4.
Let's go.
I'll do this, only if you let me tell a story about it.
Well, I don't have more details than that, because truthfully, I don't fully understand the nature of this machine.
Nyx.
But I suppose it wouldn't hurt.
Nyx, if you told a story about this, you'd be shot dead in the head.
Not by us.
No.
Mind you.
Yeah.
Remember those people more dangerous than us.
Actually, you know what? Go ahead and tell the story. See what happens.
He narrows his eyes.
Someone else should probably roll persuasion here, I bet.
Looks at Grayson. If I can get out of the little oopsie-daisy that I'm currently in, I want to be the sole interview that you give at the remembrance speech, and then I'll give you the password.
Fine. Fair enough.
Shake on it.
Insight check it. We all know what happened the last time you shook your hands.
Yeah, I know. insight check. I want to see, or like Arcana to see if there's any fucking magic going on.
Yeah, you could do either one of those.
I'm going to do insight. 18 for insight.
He is completely selfishly telling the truth.
Great. Yeah, I say yes, and I shake his hand, and I completely lie because I have no intention of following through.
Fantastic.
And then another demon tattoo crawls up your other arm.
You feel a little pinprick, and then it's a blood pact.
Whoops. Classic blood pact whoopsie-daisy.
Whoopsie. A little whoopsie.
Whoopsie.
He says my personal password to get into this facility is 69696.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
Do you want to end it with a 420? Just kind of narrows his eyes.
or another 9? Like, you ended it with a 6, not another 9?
You could have done 69420. Like, how hard was that to do?
I don't understand what you are all talking about. Can someone explain?
That's for another Night Temple.
There's an element of demonic level there with the 666, so I'd understand, honestly.
Valen just holds, grabs a Temple on the shoulder when he says that, and he's like, Temple, we can talk about that later.
Okay.
It's just a little fun between us carbon-based life forms.
I see.
All right, Tarash, you got the controller. The N64 controller.
All right, Kite, you got that to Elusive?
Yes. She's got it, and I place her on top of the drone.
You see the octopussy go like completely flat.
Octopussy?
Octopussy. I shouldn't say octopussy. I think you should.
That's the name of a James Bond movie. Yeah. First of all,
this is the name of a James Bond movie.
You didn't know you'd get this trivia today listening to Dungeon Boys. Yeah, and the octopussy goes completely flat and almost mirrors the color of the drone, like this pale gray.
It's a flat octopussy.
So Torash is going to fly Elusive and the drone into the airlock and shut the airlock doors.
And then you see this very perfectly small hole that's almost the size of the drone open out. And the drone, you can pilot it through the hole perfectly.
And it'll do that.
And then do you start piloting it towards the keypad?
Yeah.
I think that Elusive would like kind of slither off of it before it gets there, because she, I'm imagining she could like stretch out, you know, their,
yeah,
the like membranes that are in between their tentacles, and she can just kind of flap.
Oh, that's cute.
Seeing the fact that it's in space too, I was thinking that, you know, like the drone kind of goes, like kind of like goes out, and then Elusive like kind of like jumps off, and then just uses the momentum of the drone to just fucking just fly, just plop right down to the keypad.
Yeah, her little hydraulic steampunk equipment that's on the outside is gonna like shift and click, and then her organic like siphon is gonna start ejecting a fluid unknown to you, but it doesn't look like she makes it. It comes from the steampunk and kind of propel her towards the keypad. Yeah, and then it's just like this, you see this just little parasol shaped thing.
That's adorable.
This little parasol shaped thing just kind of like shimmy down.
What a remarkable octopus.
Once I see that, Torish is going to pilot the drone like up kind of towards one of the ships.
I bet Tarawin would love to meet that octopus.
She probably would.
And now back to Six and Pants.
Pants, I thought I was your best friend. Well, you're my, you know, funny best friend that I can joke with and have a good time with. Strogi is like my mentor, so it's different. Yeah.
Okay.
I got best friend categories.
That's not really how that word works, though.
Oh. Okay.
Best means best out of any.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll stop using that term so loosely then. I'm sorry to offend you.
Yeah.
You are my best friend.
Yay!
Except for Temple and Arlen.
Oh.
And, I mean, Arlen? And Temple and Valen. And Torash is up there too. But you're in there. You're in that mix. So we're just all like a, what do you call those? A quartet.
Didn't say Grayson.
A quartet. Quartet of friendship.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll allow
Pants
it.
like he's like, let's go back inside. I'm cooled off now. Thanks. Thanks, Six. And he like looks off to the side and is like, whoa, phew, that was close.
Bitches be crazy, you know.
You guys walk in and Gigalda's sitting up.
Oh, Gigalda.
She turns her cat-like head towards you and blinks once.
Gigalda.
You're back.
Gigalda?
Yeah, she seems to not be talking.
Oh.
I could try to check the voice box systems.
Yeah, do that.
Everything seems to be working.
So you've already checked her voice control.
Is it the ship mine?
Yeah, it's working. She's just choosing not to speak.
You're okay, but you're not okay?
She blinks and kind of nods.
Oh no, she's mad at us. It's because we let her get crushed. It's our fault. And he like comes over and he starts groveling next down below her. And he's like, I'm so sorry, Gigalda. I didn't mean to. We didn't mean it.
Gigalda, blink twice if you're mad.
Her eyes stay wide open and she kind of tilts her head like a dog at Pants.
Hey, she's not mad.
Well, I guess this is better than nothing. Oh, wait, what about my tool for the right job?
Yeah, I think Fidget actually used that time and just stole that cool manacle for you.
Oh, great.
And also,
because Fidji used the Tinker's tools, Jugalda was fixed much faster than anticipated.
Oh, okay, great.
But yeah, Fidget just goes like, pants, fuck. And then his claws like drop it in your hand when Strokey isn't looking.
Yeah. Oh, this isn't exactly what I needed, Fidget, but you always need know what I need when I don't know what I need. So thanks. And he pockets it.
All right, well, we should probably go, right?
Yeah, but
what do you mean by we?
Well, I thought I was taking you to your ship.
Oh yeah, that would be most helpful. Yeah.
And then you stay on your ship.
I'm not trying to crash your adventure. You guys are a little too crazy for me. But let's go. It's in the back. And he like lifts up a little thing and goes boop, boop on his little moth ship.
Yay.
And as you go to leave, one of the little black cats tries to sneak in your bag, Six.
Take her. Take him with you.
She brings him.
Fuck, I didn't expect that. Okay, awesome. roll stealth.
Oh man.
Six.
Making us roll die.
Ah,
no,
shit.
Just six.
Okay.
With a plus 10.
Holy shit.
Ma'am, sir. 21.
Ah, we have a cat.
Six rolled a 21. Six really rolled an 11. But it is a 21.
When I make a little black cat appear and only you two know about it, and the rest of the group's like, what the fuck?
We're just going to be like, what? We've always had this cat.
It's that super cute, petite little black cat that had the fishbowl on its head that it's now off. It just has a little orange bandana and it's adorable.
It can be Temples. It can be Temples' little pet.
We're going to name him Bubble.
Bubble!
Oh.
Ah!
Yeah, and so he hops in your bag, Six, and it's just like...
Yes.
And then, you guys hop on Strogi's ship, and he goes, all right, strap in. It's going to be a little bumpy.
I am ready.
Woo!
And shoo, he takes off. And now back to the rest of the Harper's Requiem. I rolled 2 8s and a 4 for the ship's perceptions. So you're going to have to go right in front of them if you want them to see this thing.
No, I'll just kind of circle the area around just to make it consistent. Not like directly in front of the door, because I don't want them to like be directly in front of the door when we try and go into the door. So
okay,
can we use the ship's passive perception instead?
Yeah, straight up. You see Elusive, this cute little octopus, get right on top of it and kind of then lay flat, and its little arms start poking certain buttons, and the giant doors start to open, and at that one of the ships, and then the drone, it turns and the drone's like looking right at it, and it goes,
my name is Piggle. Please state the nature of the repairs.
Here, Valen, take this. He hands the controller to Valen, and he gets into the pilot seat of the Stingray.
Valen just, like, hits it, but, like, I think he hits the control weird and, like, lunges it toward the ship and kind of bumps into it.
Dink! Sirens are going off. The other two ships are now aware.
Yeah, and then I start piloting it away, just away from us.
It's fast, and all three ships kind of look at it, and they're doing scans on it, so they are looking away from you right now.
I'm gonna take advantage of that and fly the ship into the big ol' hole.
You can't fit the ship in the hole.
Oh.
I thought it was big enough for the ship.
Nope. You can drop down. You can have the ship go over it, so you can all drop down.
All right, I say we just run for the door, because we can't fit in.
Let's spacesuit up? Yeah, let's do that.
Oh my god, I'm just imagining a Power Rangers moment of you all putting your fucking spacesuits on.
Gold Dragonborn! Yeah. Wasn't it like, you described it before as like a device we had hatched on, and it was like a second...
Tap into the Morphin Grid.
It was like a second skin.
So it's very easy to put these on. It's like, it's exactly what Valen said. It's a device that you put on your chest, and then you tap it, and it's almost like a second skin that comes around you. The only thing you need to add on is the helmet.
Very Avengers.
And then...
Yeah.
All the helmets snap into place. Torash leads the way. Run.
And we run.
Run, you fools. Run, fools.
All of you roll stealth fly. With advantage.
It's fly, you fools, guys. Fly, come on.
I know, but we're running. And we're in space.
Oh, thank God.
Float, you fools.
I don't really have disadvantage. This is just going to be a straight roll.
Yes, sir.
Torash rolled a 19.
Temple rolled an 18.
Oh.
Ooh, it's a good thing I had advantage because... I rolled a 14.
Jesus. Grayson rolled an 11.
Okay, I got 17.
DC was 10.
Woo!
So you all hustle as you're running by, quickly slipping down underneath. Your spacesuits have little, like, jetpacky functions, so you can kind of ease as you make this, like, it's like a 300-foot drop. And the cute little octopus elusive grabs onto Torash's calf. And Torash, you feel like a little suction, bloop, 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 as it holds onto you for dear life.
Torash is when he jumps into the hole, he's just gonna do a fucking, like, a skydiver, like, backflip as he jumps into the hole.
That's also what I do when I'm about to jump into a hole.
Just gonna run up and just fucking, like,
Christ air into the vault.
One does not simply jump into the hole normally.
Who's watching Nyx?
Temple is. Temple sticking with him.
I offer to link arms with Nyx because I know he probably does not do this.
Yeah. When he gets to the hole, he's like, I don't know if this is probably not the best stuff.
The two of us hook elbows with him and on either side and jump in.
I was going to push him in, but...
Yeah. Follow the yellow brick road.
So you all jump into the darkness of the inside of this asteroid facility where all of these giant... Well, some are giant, some are small. They're these, like, mechanical balls that are storage unit pieces that... basically are safes that hold the precious goods. And as Nyx goes in, he immediately starts, like, almost swimming-ish because the gravity is so light towards his giant one. And you all follow. Mm-hmm. And as you look down, you see wolves with mechanical pieces, the ones you saw before, kind of just making their rounds. They don't necessarily go for you because you haven't done anything yet. But there are these wolves that protect this asteroid at the bottom on the ground.
Do not attack these animals. If it comes to it, I will speak with them.
I'm going to cast Pass Without Trace.
Fantastic. Excellent.
So we all now have a plus 10 to our stealth rolls.
Nice.
Woo!
How long does that last?
For an hour.
Dang.
And we can't be tracked except by magical means.
Mm.
And a creature that receives this bonus leaves behind no tracks or other traces of its passage.
Okay.
Radical.
Yeah. So you all start swimming through space with this light gravity, with the propellers of your spacesuits helping, to Nyx's floating storage unit. And when he gets there, you see Nyx put his hand up and it scans it. And then it's almost like his hand's locked in and he pulls himself forward and then it scans his eyes, his retinas. And then you see, almost like a pokeball, it open up a bit, like a clam. And then you can all drift in. This is a big space. It's by about, he has one of the bigger ones. It's about 20 by 30 feet, 20 feet high, 30 feet on the inside.
Hell yeah.
And as you get inside, artificial gravity kicks in and you all kind of hit the ground in this circular room. And there is shit everywhere. Some of it you recognize from the media you've grown up with. He has stolen props, items, things from the movie studio for his entire existence. Like, there are rare artifacts. There is just a bunch of junk. And he kind of looks sheepishly at you all and says, we don't need to speak about this with anyone.
No, it's a good thing Pants isn't here. Little sticky fingers.
I see you collect and steal more than just identities.
Oh, I hate his laugh. That was gross.
I love it. No, it's perfect for him.
That was good. That was good. Yeah,
perfect. Grayson's going to look around for, like, anything magical.
Torch is going to do the same.
Yeah. All of you can roll perception for me.
Hell yeah.
Love is the absence of judgment, Nyx.
Torch rolled a 16.
Dirty 20.
I got a 20.
I also got a 20. Love is the absence of what?
Judgment. 16 for Temple.
I think that judgment is a form of love. Self-improvement, if you will.
I think your parents did quite a number on your worldview.
I don't have any parents, thanks.
Well, everybody has parents.
Not me.
That's interesting.
What, you just sprouted up out of the ground?
Oh, out of a meteor, I think.
Hmm.
Well, fair enough.
There's... truly so many goods. You all rolled high enough to see what everything is in here.
Grayson's gonna look at this shield thing.
Grayson, you see this, like, strange bracer?
Yeah.
And as you pick it up, you realize what this is. It looks almost like a spider with four legs that someone would put on their wrist.
Yeah.
This is a type of armor. It's called a hard light shield. This is rare. So this bulky bracelet is covered in blinking blue lights that pulse with holographic emitters. The hard light shield produces a translucent but substantial holographic barrier when activated. It acts like a shield, providing a +2 AC bonus. As a transparent force effect, the hard light shield provides no bonuses against lasers. Activating or deactivating the hard light shield takes an action or a bonus action. When turned off, it provides no AC bonuses, but it also does not interfere with spellcasting. However, once plugged into someone's wrist, it is connected to them permanently.
Mm, cool. Grayson is going to put it away in his pack.
In the bag of holding?
My pack, because Pants has the bag of holding.
Oh, you're right. Pants has the bag of holding. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, Pants has the bag man.
Yeah, Pants has the bag man.
What's the belt?
Yeah, so Valen, as you see Grayson looking at this, right next to it, there is a very ancient-looking dwarven sculpted belt. It has very fine, intricate red leather that is completely carved of the cosmos. This item is the belt of dwarven kind. So this will add a +2 when worn. This will add a +2 constitution modifier. Advantage on all charisma persuasion checks when you interact with dwarves, plus dark vision and resistance against poison if you're not a dwarf.
Dang.
Cool. I think Valen. Well, Valen, I don't know if you know that all, but he looks at it and I think he recognizes the dwarven ruins and he thinks, oh, I think Pants would like this. So I kind of grab it and I'm just like sling it over my shoulder.
Hey, see here, you can't just take all of my stuff.
Well, considering you took it from other people, Grayson says without even looking at him.
Torash is going to look at that headset-looking thing.
Yeah, so Torash, as you see this, like, it almost looks like an Oculus headset that could be put on. And as you're looking at it, it's brand new. There's actually, like, a tag on it. And it says 300,000 credits. This is something that's very expensive. Mm-hmm. And you read about it. This is... You guys got the magic items. Let's Are you stoked go. Or what? This is a hologram generator. So it's bright green in color. And basically this functions that you can store up to 9 holographic images or 2 minutes or 2 images of moving imagery that you can project from small to huge size at any time. So think Minor Illusion, but it's for holograms. And holograms can interact with the world around them. Mm. When you function this, it can incorporate sound as well if you're doing the 2-minute moving images. And it can go up to 500 feet. It can be projected.
Yeah, I think Taurus is going to bag it.
Bag it!
Bag it!
Is that more of Nicias poison?
No.
Okay, Valen's gonna pick up the vial.
There's 3 of them.
3 vials?
Yeah. So Valen, it's like almost like a test kit. What is it called?
Test tube.
Yes, thank you. It's almost like a test tube set, but there's these beautiful potion vials. And as you pick it up, there are 3 supreme potions of healing.
Oh,
perfect.
But as you pick it up, it kind of, you didn't realize there was a chain around them because you can wear them around your neck. And as they do it, something completely shifts. And then this blue orb floats right in front of you, Valen, kind of slowly turning and it's just floating.
Okay, Valen grabs it.
Nothing happens when you grab it.
I like look at it.
As you look at it, it looks like earth, made of earth and stone. Very similar to what Novakite's skin looks like.
I look over at Novakite. I'm like, is this what you're looking for? Kind of hold it up in the air.
Buffering.
Yeah, she's gonna... Yeah, I'm buffering, sorry. Yeah, she's gonna go... Yes, that is what I'm looking for, I think. I don't know. My brain's a little fuzzy looking at it now, actually.
Valen has no idea what this thing's worth, so I just like casually toss it to her.
Yeah, her eyes are kind of glazing over. She seems a little stunned.
I just go, think fast, and I'll hear, and I toss it over.
Almost as if it was slow motion, this orb touches Novakite's fingers, and Novakite's head shoots back upwards. These amethyst eyes of hers start to glow, and light ejects out of them, almost as if light through a prism is hit. And projected in front of you is a vision through another being's eyes. You see a forest starting to burn. This strange elf-like creature with druidic magic. This fey, beautiful creature screaming in pain. Then you see a planet being hit with a beam and pieces of rock flying everywhere. You see a beautiful tower that was made of vines and pieces of trees being split down the middle. And as it crashes, one side rolling down, you see a black hole pulsing behind it with huge rockets and ships come pouring out. You see a small girl standing. She has elven pointed ears looking at a city burning to the ground. You see homes destroyed that were made of beautiful flowers, completely caved in. And then you see seven figures with robes walking through and taking pieces of technology with magic. Their eyes glowing, and as you focus in on this image that swirls around you, you see the council symbol on their robes. You are witnessing the destruction of the Feywild realm. And as one by one, these images become more and more intense, you hear a piercing scream of a woman. And Torash, your spine goes rigid. It is the scream you know of Tarawin. And as you look around at these different images, there's a woman that looks like her, but it's not her. A crown adorns her head, a cape of flowers that are blooming and not at the same time. She wears silver and blue silks, and she's being dragged by the hair by one of these council members, a knife then to her throat, and being pulled into a ship. And Kite, and the images start to fade. You all saw this projected.
Holy shit.
That was very good.
That was impeccable.
I think Grayson looks at Kite and just says, "Who are you?"
I don't know myself. I'm not sure anymore. That was
amazing.
That was haunting. No, it wasn't.
Torash snaps over and looks at Pips, and he like aggressively walks forward to him and grabs him by the shirt.
Hey!
Go beat him up.
This is what the world in the universe will come to. This is what was going to happen if you didn't give us what we needed. We are on this mission to stop this from happening.
I don't want this to happen. It's the first time he's actually taking you fucking seriously. Who was that? Who was that elvish queen? Where was that place?
That was the Feywilds.
The Feywilds, a legend, a myth. It's a story.
It's gone, is what it is.
I think I'm the physical remembrance of that.
What do you mean?
A bit about me. I've traveled through space, both intentionally and unintentionally, and my origins are of quite confusion. This is hard for me to express, but let's just say I woke up on a flying rock one day and didn't really know what to do about it, so I started collecting and finding information as desperately as I could, and that's why I started the Wandaporium, but this seems, I've always known there's something more going on, and that's why I was drawn to Tenebris, because I felt like I had to find something there. And here we are, I think I've found it.
So you are what remains?
I think so.
Well, it seems that whoever those cloaked figures were kidnapped some sort of elf as well.
She did look quite familiar.
I think it was more than a kidnapping. Didn't it look, she sort of had an akin to that young thing you were picture chatting in the ship?
Yeah. He lets go of Hibs.
Well, let's find those pieces you're looking for. What are they supposed to look like?
So as you look around, you see the bulkhead connector. But then something else catches your eye. It's a similar piece. And then another. So instead of finding one piece of the cannon, you actually just found three.
Ooh.
Oh, sick. Plot twist!
Justine spinning up the campaign.
Yeah, so I think I assume we all pick it. We all kind of find it and we just pick it up.
These pieces are huge. They're the two, well, the bulkhead connector is small. It looks like a bowl almost, like the size of a bowl. But the two bigger pieces that you find, they are like 7 feet tall.
Valen's doing like, yeah, Torash, I slap him on the back. I'm like, you can handle this, right?
Yeah, I got this. Tries to fucking big man muscle. Muscle them.
So now how the fuck do we get out of here?
Same way we came in.
Same way we came in.
Is there a way you can shut off the gravity in this room?
No. I don't have that kind of power.
I'm amazed that you have these. They all just happen to be here. It's kind of funny.
At that, he changes. And he looks like a short dwarf and says, I can do anything. And then he shifts again. And he's a... like Triton holding like a huge powerful sword. It's easy to get things when you can become anyone you want.
Amazing.
And then he shifts back to his normal form.
You wear your person as a loose fitting garment. That is remarkable.
It's very good in the Tenebris business.
I imagine.
Space Hollywood, hell yeah.
Kite's gonna roll her eyes so hard that you can hear the like gemstones
grinding inside your skull and like, ooh.
Yeah.
On V7, we had ceremonies that touched the Feywild, or at least they were said to. But I always felt that the ceremonies felt empty. There was nothing to them. They almost felt like a memorial to what they once were, and now I think I understand why. There was no connection there because the Feywild's gone.
Yes, I've studied the Feywild as I was always drawn to it, and I feel like I've been searching for it, but more spinning in place than anything.
Temple, actually, I don't think Temple would know this. This is kind of above the table. Do our spacesuits have body cameras?
No.
Shit. So that wasn't recorded. Well, this is the proof that we needed. The proof that we needed of something we assumed this whole time. The Council is evil. Or at least they were, but this is the proof.
The Council members are thousands of years old. So the people you saw in the vision would be the same ones that exist now. All 7 of them.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
This just happened?
No, not like that. I'm saying that the council members are thousands of years old. Oh. So even though this happened like 1,200 years ago or whatever, it's the same people.
They're just old.
Okay. Like how elves can live like thousands of years, gotcha. These council members are all fucking old.
Okay, cool. I like that.
Did we see Gallowood in that vision?
No, he's not part of the council. He's just the head of the military.
Okay.
You haven't met any of the council members yet. But the 7 black figures with the crests on them
of the council member, you would know that that's the fucking council you saw.
Right, but would we know that they're thousands of years old?
Yeah, everyone knows that they're ancient beings.
Okay.
Do they know that the Feywild was destroyed a thousand years ago?
No, all of this has been hidden. Well, okay. Grayson had that moment with Professor Noxious with the Feywild coat, and he was kind of like, this shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
So there's like I've laid the groundwork for this slightly. Probably should have done a better job. That's okay.
I think, too, Grayson's going to say that makes sense. I mean, the legend is that my kind, the elves, came from the Feywild. But if you look around the star system, there are the elf numbers are not increasing. Half elves are increasing, but the elves are not. There's a finite amount of them left.
Kite's just going to put her hands to her temples and go, how old am I?
Grayson pats her shoulder and says, age is just a number.
Hey, yo.
Well, that's actually relative to the planet that you're on, relative to the sun that you're spinning around, relative to which galaxy you're in. It's a bit messy. I don't think it's just a number.
Kite. Shut up.
I have never been told to shut up before. That's the first time. Thank you so much.
I think that's a lie. I would definitely have told you to shut up.
Nyx, shut the fuck up.
He just nods his head.
Oh.
My arms are getting tired from holding these two big fucking pieces, so can we make like a tree and get the fuck out of here, please?
Yes.
Absolutely. Here, I'll go out last so I can lock everything up.
Valen's gonna be the last one out. You'll go out before Valen.
Valen's gonna grab him by the shirt collar so we can fly him up because I have my wings.
He looks like he's like, fuck. He was gonna trap himself in there. Yeah, you grab him by the shirt and your wings spread out and you start gliding upwards. The rest of you, with your little, like, foot jetpacks on your suits, start going up. And, you all, as you look at Torash carrying these things, you see between his horns, this little octopus is, like, hanging like a flag just between his horns, like, flapping.
We still have passed that trace up, by the way.
Amazing. Not been an hour.
Sweet.
So, yeah, you all glide up, and you see these ships have moved probably, like, 600 feet away, and this little drone is just bouncing between the three of them, and they're trying to scan it, but it's going really fast.
I like that little drone.
He was good while he lasted. All right, let's get back to the ship.
We're going to have to buy a new one at this point.
You get back to the ship?
Yep.
Okay. You open it, Torash. I'm assuming you put on these pieces. Mm-hmm. And you realize the ship has received 6 transmissions while you've been in there.
Okay, let's play the oldest one first.
Grayson, please call us back. It's Calliope, Grayson.
And it cuts out.
Play the next one.
There's been a terrible potato estate. It's...
Hey, what's the timestamp between these?
Seconds.
I'll just keep playing through them.
All of them are Calliope calling out to Grayson with huge sounds in the back of like explosions. And then the last one finally says,
okay, I have a stable connection. Grayson, it's your sister. I need you to call me when you're safe. I don't know what just happened, but my visions went blank and something happened to Terawin. Her head snapped back and her eyes glazed over, and a strange projection of things I've never seen came out of her eyes. I'm so confused. I was able to take the visions and record them on a hollow emitter, but it seems so unstable and I'm really confused. She almost destroyed half of the estate. Mother's with her now, but her magic's uncontainable. Please call me when you're safe.
I need to get home.
I wouldn't recommend calling her when you have those other ships trying to scan right now.
We need to get the rest of the crew first, and then we gotta book it to Moss.
You hear... And you see the golden moth-like ship of Strogi's ship come up. And you hear...
Oh, yes.
And you hear, we need to get the fuck out of here, we're being chased! From Pants. Let's go, get out of here! And then that ship takes off. Torash hops in the pilot seat. Also goes out, and boom, you're chased off. Novakite, your ship, I'm assuming, is on some kind of auto. It's, like, in orbit.
Yeah, it's just in the rings where it usually is. So I'm going to go up to Torash, who still has probably elusive...
On his horse.
On his head. On
yeah,
his
and
horn.
He's piloting focused.
Yeah. And she's going to look kind of sullen and go, Torash.
Yes.
How are you with the care of animals? Do you like them?
I love animals.
All right. Well, I knew that I met Elusive for a reason, and she seems to have taken quite the liking to you. I think it's our similar height. I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And our strength as well.
I think that I need to convey a magical record or essence into Elusive to be given to this Tarawin figure. I just have a hunch about it.
After seeing that, I think she needs something as well.
I think that Tarawin likes animals as well, right?
Absolutely.
Is she smart? Could she take care? Could you take care of it together?
I would much rather Elusive stay in my hands, but I think she would be great.
But she can. They can meet.
Of course.
At least. All right. Okay. Well, she's gonna pull out her finger to have Elusive wrap the tentacle around. And she's gonna go, all right, are you ready to get pumped and save the day? And Elusive's gonna do and curl up her little things. And I'm like, all right. And she's gonna close her eyes and inhale pretty deeply. And you're gonna see sparkle and stardust kind of emit from her and swirl around and go up into the tentacles. And then Elusive's gonna kind of glow a nice sparkly color, and now Elusive has that, like, stardust radiating kind of passively, like the way Kites has been this whole time.
Hell yeah.
Aww.
Cool.
Torash got a pet,
I got
guys.
A pet, guys. Oh, my God.
I got a sparkly octopus.
Fucking puzzle.
Are you excited, Torash?
I'm so excited. You have no idea.
when Mika told me that idea when we first started talking about her guest story, and I was like, oh, Grant's going to lose his mind.
Oh, I didn't have to do that.
There was one episode, and I was listening, and you said, like, everyone has a pet but me. And I was like, oh! I was, like, driving in my car. I was like, no, Grant!
Awesome.
Okay, so Kite's going to put her hand probably a little too firmly on Torash's shoulder and go, take me to my ship and I'll get you out of here.
Very well. I spin the ship around and bring it back to ship.
Where am I supposed to go? Who am I going with?
For the time being, with us. We'll figure out where to drop you.
I'd much rather go with her. Then he points at Kite.
Yes, we're going to have a long conversation.
Well, maybe I should stay with you folks, actually, now that I see the glint in her eyes.
You know,
Tarsha's gonna whip around and just toward... like and just fucking gives him like a fucking like death stare.
Don't worry, I've got lots of juice. It'll be fine.
Sounds like you're gonna have a great time, Nyx. And Grayson just like pats him on the back way too hard.
Temple walks up to Nyx and like puts his hands on either side of his face and like looks him in the eyes. Thousands of candles can be lighted from a single candle, and the life of the candle will not be shortened. Happiness never decreases by being shared.
What the fuck does that mean?
Be generous.
Okay.
And then Val's gonna look at him and says, be better.
I just gave you all a bunch of my shit, all right? Get out of my face.
And then Grayson's gonna look at him and say, be afraid.
Ooh.
Temple pats his cheek.
And gives him a wink, and then turns around and says to Kite, don't be too rough on him. Just rough enough.
Oh. I will, big boy. And she spanks Nyx on the ass.
Yes.
Zesty.
It's strap on time, baby.
Trash perfectly glides the ship underneath Kite's ship. The ships connect. And the doors open. And Pips runs onto your ship.
Going to look at all of you and say, you know,
Say a fond farewell to that little blue pebble for me. I'm not sure if he liked me too much, but I was truly fond of him. First cobalt I've met in a long time.
We will.
We'll pass the message along.
We will. And I'm sure we'll meet again.
Right before you leave, Valen's going to be like, hey, where can we find you after, maybe after all this is done, we can finally see your Wonder Emporium.
I still owe you a keynote speech.
Yeah.
You do. That would be so wonderful. Well, maybe after the universe is all solved and whatnot, but I think I'm going to lay low for a while and figure out what I'm doing, so... But I'll leave my main contact with the people at the Wonderporium. You can always find me that way.
All right. Well, it was a pleasure.
Oh, I could also give you the tracking information for my ship.
Oh, yeah, just in case, you know.
Yeah, so I'm going to give that.
And then you hear... in the Six's voice, can y'all hurry it the fuck up so we can attach to the ship and get on the ship?
Take care, Kite.
Wow. You know, that one, have good luck. You know, I relate to her, you know, woman to woman. It could probably be a bit rough with you lot, but, yeah, even I'm scared of her. Good luck to you. And she's gonna, like, salute and just, like, push herself backwards with the sparkly flare that you've come to see.
I love that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So you fly back, the doors close, and you see Kite's ship take off and start doing evasive measures like alpha, beta, gamma, whatever. And the ships lock onto her because you're kind of stealthy still. And she cruises off, all three ships going after her. And then at that, the doors reopen and you're so long. And Pants and Six walk back onto your ship. Both of them look fucking worn out, worse for wear from their little adventure. And that is where we're going to end the session.
Woo!
All right.
We did it.
We did it, guys.
We got there. This is one of the most powerful episodes we've done.
Seriously. It was very good.
That whole fucking monologue you did with that literally gave me chills. Like, I'm
it was very good.
Like,
thank you. I made that up on the spot, so I really appreciate
that.
That's
insane.
You just listened to The Dungeon Boys. Thanks so much for cruising with us and playing this podcast. It's folks like you who make this shit worth doing. And a huge, amazing, incredible, wonderful shout out to our guest star, Mika. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mika.
I am humbled. Thank you.
Hopefully you enjoyed your space adventure with us and it wasn't too chaotic for your brain.
Oh, no, it was great. First time space D&D.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Well, we appreciate you and adore you, and may you and all of our listeners, may all your space travels be safe.
Or not. I mean,
who
are we to tell you what to do?
The best part was getting spoilers for a show that I listen to every time, immediately when it comes out.
Yeah,
sorry about that. We're all still alive.
Spoiler
no one's
alert.
Dead yet.